Turn with me now to the Gospel of Mark, okay? And we're going to go from, I think I have it up on the screen. We're going to start in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 31. If you don't have a Bible, oh, sorry, there's some up here, or you should have some in the chair in front of you. But open your Bibles or your apps. If you're on your apps, don't you dare turn on that game to get your rewards. Oh, that was a good one. Yes, this is a better reward. Okay, set aside that time. Matthew, Mark. If you don't know Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark chapter 10. I'm getting there myself. I got so much writing in my Bible. Over the years, he's taught me. We're going to go from 13 to 31. I'm going to read it, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. Here's one more thing. If you guys need a Bible, would you just let Pastor Gary or myself or, oh, where's my wife? Or Miss Lisa or Neely. Let Mr. Jason, somebody know, Anthony, let somebody know, and we will get a Bible for you in whatever version you prefer. Whatever you're comfortable with, as a free gift in Jesus' name. We just want the Word of God in your hands and then in your heart. Amen. All right, so everybody there, Mark chapter 10. All right, starting in verse 13. We're going to read it through to 31. All right, starting in verse 13 in Mark chapter 10. It says, people were bringing the little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Verse 17 continues with the rich young ruler and says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. Verse 19 continues, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not fraud. Honor your mother and your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing then you lack, he said. Go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Oh man, I thank you for that, Lord. Goes on to finish these last verses, 28 continues. Peter said to him, but we have left everything to follow you. Love, Peter. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So let's go through this verse by verse, and we'll talk about these verses. He starts us off in Mark chapter 10, 13. He says, people were bringing their little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. And so obviously parents, grandparents, family members who are bringing these little kids to Jesus. This word bringing or brought is a word in Greek. It means prosphero. And you say, what does that mean? It's an important word because the word in Greek means to offer up. It means to dedicate. Like they would use that same word when they would make a sacrifice. And so our modern day equivalent would probably be when someone wants to before they get baptized, when a parent wants to dedicate their children to the Lord. And sometimes you've seen that. They said, Pastor, we would like to dedicate our child to the Lord. We have them come up here. And then we have the whole church pray over them. And we have some folks lay hands on them. And we pray that God would equip the parents to be good, godly parents, that God would bless that child's life, that it would live a life for Jesus, that wouldn't be a compromising life, that would be a one that blesses his heart. And so that's what they were doing to Jesus. Now, it's interesting to me that the kids loved Jesus and that he loved them. Jesus was not a mean, harsh, critical figure to them, right? Instead, Jesus loved them. Now, can I tell you something? Sometimes when we get old, whoever that is. No, I just mean in general. Sometimes when we get older, we can get crotchety. Do you know what that means? Mary Kate's ribbing Gary right now. Just kidding. Look, sometimes we can get crotchety when we're young, like me. Sometimes, why is that funny? No, sometimes we can get a little critical. The more we get to know, the more we can get a little judgmental of others, critical of others, look down on them. Oh, sir, what Bible version are you using? You don't have the red letter, sir. Ma'am, sorry, I got to give her a... Oh, my Costa Rican friend.
Hi. It's good to see you. Surprise.
Yes. All the way from Costa Rica. Watches us online. So here we go. So here's the thing. When we're talking about the Lord, Jesus was somebody that the kids loved, right? And listen, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, the first thing he says, that the fruit of a spirit-filled life is what?
Love.
Love. Listen, the first thing is in your mind, I'm criticizing you, Robin. How dare you, blah, blah, blah. Or how dare you, Rockin' Robin. Look, our first thing should be how we love others in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Listen, that's who Jesus was. Now, there's a time when we might have to correct or discipline or rebuke, right? But those are all true. But our first thing is, listen, the kids love Jesus. They wanted to be around him, right? And hopefully, if you're a loving Christian and you love the Lord, people are going to want to be around you as well. And that's the truth. And so there's a contrast word here. The contrast word changes from compassion to criticism. And the word is right here where it says, but. Okay? So they brought Jesus. Look, lay your hands on him. Bless him. It was a tradition unto the Jewish rabbis to do that. And they were bringing him to Jesus. Hey, we want to dedicate our kids to the Lord. Would you just bless them? Would you pray over them? And it says, but the disciples rebuked them. And I don't want us, right? When we have new people coming into church, can I tell you? If they have a whole bunch of tattoos, you know what? It's just fine. If they're wearing a cool hat to church, it's just fine. Right? If they have no hair, sorry, no fancy anything. Don, where? I saw him. Oh, Don, I saw you all dressed up. If you're dressed up, that sounds fantastic. If you're here in shorts and flip-flops, that's fantastic. Listen, man's always concerned about the outside appearance. But you know what God is looking at? He's looking at your heart. That's more important to him. Okay? So if you've got red hair, blue hair, yellow hair, no hair, Anthony? Doesn't matter. Gray hair. Oh, that was. I wouldn't know what that's like. But anyway, what really matters is the condition of our hearts. Isn't that true? And so we have to make sure the conditions of our hearts are right. And we don't want to be like these disciples. We should be welcoming anybody who walks through that door with open arms. We love you. We're glad you're here. Now, does that mean we're going to compromise the truth? No. We're going to speak the truth. We're going to do it in a loving way because that's what's best for them. And so it says that these disciples rebuked them. And now we're not sure of the disciples' motivation here, but their actions were wrong. You know, maybe like most in those days, they saw the children as unimportant. They saw the young people as an interruption. And I don't think that's the right heart at all. I think God's heart is way different than that. I've been criticized over the years for, I worked with young people for many, many years. And this is when I get criticized amongst, I get criticized for everything, but one of the things they get criticized for is investing a lot of time in them, in the young people and the children. We have a school here. We've got some dedicated, amazingly dedicated people who work with the young people all the time. And it's not easy, okay? But they're our future. And it's not just a saying, oh, the children are our future. They really are. And so, listen, well, but the youth, you know, the teenager, young people, they're not tithing. You need to focus on the adults. That's where the money is. That's where that's how your church is going to grow. That, you know. Listen, we're going to invest freely. We've been given. We're going to invest in them. They're beautiful. They're worth it. We love them. There are some people that I've taught here that I used to teach in youth groups 20 years ago. Is that right? Well, maybe 10. maybe 20. I'm going to think about it. Oh, gosh. Maybe I shouldn't think about it. But the bottom line is they're valuable, right? And we got some amazing people that work with the children's ministry. We've got some amazing parents here that actually take the time with their kids. They invest in them to teach them godly things. It's easy to let the TV do it or not to do it at all. We've got some amazing grandparents that care enough about their kids to want to talk to them about the Lord. Thank you for that. To want to be a good example for them. Thank you for that. You know what? That's okay. Sorry. I felt like the Lord was saying, you need to pray for them right now. Okay, so I'm sorry, it's just kind of, so we're going to do this. There's, if you work at our Christian school or any school in the area with children, would you just stand up right now? Stand up and stay standing. Yep. If you work with the children's ministry, would you stand up? If you're a parent or a grandparent that's investing in kids, if you're working with children or teenagers in any way, in a godly way, trying to draw them closer to the Lord, will you just stand up? And I want to pray God's blessing over you now. And I don't even know what I'm going to pray, but I feel like the Lord wants me to do this. Lord, I pray in Jesus Christ's name for your overflowing of living water. You would wash them with the water of your word. I pray that you would encourage their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You would give them strength, understanding, compassion, patience, lots of patience, Lord, and your supernatural love to continue to pour into them as we're teaching them, as we're training them, Lord God. I pray that you would give them an overwhelming heart to continue to love on them. Even if they're rebellious or fighting us a little bit, Lord, you would help us to continue to do that, Lord God. I thank you for every person here who cares enough to work with young people, Lord. Give them the strength, the courage, the protection, the provision that they need, and bless these young people as well. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, you may sit down. I think we need to have a heart like Jesus. And I wrote on here to pray, to teach, to bless, to invest your time in the kingdom of God. There was an old-timey preacher, Charles Spurgeon, I use him a lot, but he was a traveling preacher, right? And he would go to different churches and he would teach these. And so the host church came up to him and after his sermon and he said, hey, did anybody get saved? And he said, yes, he's like, that's amazing. Somebody received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Absolutely. How many people? He said, 2.5. He said, 2.5? The host said, oh, I know what you mean. He's like, 2 adults and 1 child. And he's like, no. He's like, I mean 2 children and 1 adult. And he said, what? What do you mean by that? And he said, listen, the adult, most of his life is, those years are gone, right? Half of that, his life is gone. The children have their whole life ahead of them. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that true? So listen, continue to invest in those around you. They are worth it. They are worth it. And even if you're struggling with it, God says they're worth it. Isn't that true? All right. There's a guy by the name of Louis Palau. How many of you have heard of Louis Palau? Okay. He's like a Spanish Billy Graham. Or he was. I think he died a couple of years ago, a year or two back. But anyway, he's especially in Latin America. He was heard all over. He was on a radio program. He was on 900 stations daily in 23 countries. And in Spanish, he was on 880 stations in 25 countries every day. Isn't that incredible? And Palau tells of an incident during a crusade in Bolivia years ago. When his day started with breakfast, where he shared Jesus Christ with a number of the top government officials that they had in Bolivia. And he was looking forward to a luncheon, I believe, with the president of Bolivia. Anyway, at mid-morning, he was having a press conference. It was in the middle of his hotel, and it was a big deal. And in the middle of that press conference, there was a knock on the door. And the door opened, and it was one of his assistants, his team members. And he walked in with a small Bolivian girl, she's about 11, who had seen Palau on TV and was anxious to talk to him. Well, I love Palau's honesty here. He said, you know what, when the person brought him in the middle of the press conference, he was at first a little annoyed. He put that aside. He greeted the girl. He picked up a book. He signed it. He autographed it for her. And he said, hey, Lord bless you, sweetheart, he said. And then afterwards, as he began leading her to the door, she took 2 steps, and I love this. And she said, she looked back and confidently said, but Mr. Palau, I really wanted to receive Jesus Christ in my heart. And Luis Palau was caught up and said, you know what he did? This is so cool of him. He dismissed all the newsmen, everything like that, and he sat down and led this little girl to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? And later that day, he also led the president of Bolivia to Jesus Christ. But he said that both of those appointments were equally significant. Isn't that great? Jesus Christ is an equal opportunity. I was going to say employer, savior. Thank you. Hey, do we have a microphone, Pastor Gary? Would you mind, Whit, back there in the back? We do. You can ask questions here. You can talk. You can share if God's putting something on your heart. So go ahead, Whit.
What you're saying, clearly, in a strong warning to all of us, Judges 2:10 speaks clearly about what you're saying. A lot, we can lose a generation.
Yes.
The importance of raising our children. Absolutely. To know the Lord.
Yes. It says in the Old Testament, even when I'm old and gray, he's like, do not let me stop from declaring your gospel to the next generation. So listen, if you're older and you're thinking, hey, I'm tired, I'm retired, guess what? I'm tired. We're not fully retired. If you serve the Lord, guess what? You can still share. You know what I'm saying? You can still be a witness for Jesus Christ. He's not done with you yet. Yes, right over there, if you wouldn't mind handing that microphone. Go ahead, brother.
One of the things I really appreciate about this church is the number of kind, loving adults that are working together to love and serve our young people here.
Yes.
And last week, there's a pastor by the name of J.D. Greer. Mm-hmm. He was saying that the surveys are showing that when five adults in a church get to know and work with the kids that they have, that they will not leave the faith, because the people in the universities now are largely trying to eliminate the faith in kids.
Yep.
But if they have a strong adult number of people working with them and loving them in the church, they are much less, will probably not leave their faith.
Yes.
When those things happen.
Yes, that's exactly right. Thank you. Go ahead. One more. Go ahead. Sure.
Yeah, I just want to say that my version here, which is King James, mm-hmm. it says, and they brought the young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's important too.
Yeah.
Not be upset if you bring a child that maybe is disruptive or...
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to...
You know, bring them to Jesus. Now, can we help absolutely everybody? We may not be equipped, but you know what? We can be welcoming and loving. That's why, you know, also, if you're bringing somebody here and you're, you know, don't worry about what they look like or what... Just, you know what? We should welcome with open arms, right? I was going to tell a story, but the Lord told me not to tell a story. Okay, so let's continue. And it goes on to say... in Mark 10:14, it says this. It says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And some of your translations might have a different word here in 14, but that's the most accurate. It said, let the little children come unto me and do not hinder, right? For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And so that word indignant, it means, that's the right word in the Greek. It means incensed. It means aggrieved. It means angry at something and just. That's unjust or wrong. Like, it would almost be like Pastor Gary, if somebody wanted to come up and talk to me about Jesus, you know, Pastor Gary's like, you know what, Pastor Darren doesn't have time for you. You know, wouldn't that have been terrible? Wouldn't that have been terrible, Jason? You know, I still remember. When they first came, Jason first came to school, you know, here's this guy all tattooed up. It's really, you know, God was the biggest blessing. We spent lots of time together, and it was wonderful. I'm so glad. And now he's actually teaching at the school, teaching the youth. And so we just need to be welcoming and not indignant about these things. And Even singing. You know what? If it's a little too loud, that's okay. If it's, you know what? There's we sing a song. Can you guys remember the Graves into Gardens song?
Yes.
We turn graves into gardens. Well, at youth group, we do. We turn graves into gardens. Or we clap and we stomp our feet. Well, you know what? This was a few years back. We had some people get really angry that they were stomping their feet and clapping their hands. You know what? I wish we would all do it a bit more. So raise your hands, stomp your feet, clap. Feel free to just do, you know what I'm saying? Let's worship the Lord, and that's okay. And so, and it says let or permit, right? When it says let the children come unto me, Jesus is saying, it's actually in a command form, right? It's in the imperative. It means let them through right now. It wasn't like, hey, why don't you let them through? It's like, you let them through now. I like that. The disciples are probably like, uh-oh, we blew it again. And it says, do not hinder them. In Greek, it's kaluo, and it means to cut off. Don't prevent them. Don't forbid them. It wasn't that the disciples were simply saying, hey, it's not right at this time, and sometimes it's not the right time, right? They were saying the youth were unimportant, and so they were saying, not at all, don't waste his time. And that was wrong, right? And the kingdom of God belongs to these, right? The disciples must have been shocked at Jesus' words. Jesus had a wonderful way of turning our self-righteousness, and he still does, and prideful thinking upside down. Jesus was saying, I want you to follow their pattern. They're coming to me unhindered. They want me to bless them and love on them. Like, don't hinder them. In fact, just the opposite. I want you guys, disciples, to be like them. And the New Living Translation, I love it. It grabs the meaning very well. It says, the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. You know? And so Jesus wants us to be childlike in our faith. Now he doesn't want us to be childish in our faith. Does that everybody understand the difference? Childlike means I trust you, I love you. You know, there's an obedience there. There's a dependence there. It's innocent. It's uncomplicated. Sometimes I can have the paralysis of analysis. Do you know what I mean? My brain's going on. And the kids are like, oh, yeah, hey, Dad. You know, let me just give you a hug right here, right now. That's the way we should be with Jesus. Right? Right? So, you know, we need to make sure that we're childlike, not childish. I'm going to give you a scripture here. What he's saying is, childlike is that trust and that dependence. Childish is immaturity. That's what he doesn't want you to be. And we can be, some of us can be big women babies and big man babies in our faith. And it's a spiritual weakness. Hebrews 5:12, listen, he says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. He's like, you need milk like a baby and with a bottle, not solid food, right? Or strong meat. What he's saying is, I don't want you to be childish in your faith. Listen, you need to be growing. Listen, can I tell you something? If you're in the same spot you were last year, right? Something's wrong. Are you in the same spot you were 2 years ago? Something's wrong, right? Do we want everybody just to give us our little spiritual bottle? I just want to come on Sunday. Pastor, need to feed me like a little baby. Now, I'm not going to eat my food all during the week because that's too hard. Pastor D's sermon's too long. Right? No. We need to be eating the solid, the meat of God's word. We need to be growing protein strong in the Lord, right? And in his mighty power. That's how God wants us to be. And that requires some work. The Bible puts it this way in 1 Timothy 4:7. It doesn't say, be fed constantly. It says, train yourself to be godly. No one's going to do it for you. I guess you shouldn't say I do it for you. But that's because God's called me to do that. But that shouldn't be all that you get during the week, right? Go to a Bible study. Even a finance class. The finance class is a godly finance class. David Ramsey, excellent speaker. I'm so glad Pastor Gary and Mary Kate, they've been in finance for years. Why wouldn't you want to know how to handle money better? Why wouldn't you know how to live this life better? These are opportunities. Take advantage of them. But it says train yourself to be godly. And then it goes on to say, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for this present life and the life to come. He goes on to say in Mark 10:15, he says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like this little child will never even enter it. And this reminds me of Jesus' words to the Pharisee Nicodemus, right, when he came about salvation. Nicodemus had come to him and he's like, hey, we know, I was going to say J-man, that's my own thought in my own head. We know, Jesus, that you're from God, right? Because you couldn't do and say the things you're doing if you weren't from God. But, you know, what is this? What is this born? Jesus told him, listen. He told him, listen, I assure you, or Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, born anew, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. It's more than just being religious. It's more than just coming to church. It's, I surrender all, Jesus, to you. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Come into my life and change me from the inside out. I want to receive you like a little child. Oh, that's too easy, Pastor. Yep, just like a little child. That's what it's about. Children are mostly willing to receive whatever you give them. I have a problem sometimes as an older person receiving things. I don't mind giving things to you. I love it. But, oh, you want to give me something? I feel terrible. I shouldn't. As I grow in the Lord, I've started getting a little bit better at receiving things. People bless me with shirts and cups and things like that. It's wonderful. Anyway. But John 1:12 says this. It says, yet to all who just received him, just like a little child, right? And to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You believe, you receive. Children are also not known for refusing those gifts, right? They joyfully accept them, just like we should receive the gift that God's given us. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. Charles Spurgeon said this, the kingdom of God consists of childlike spirits, persons like these little children. Instead of needing to grow bigger in order to be fit to be Christians, we need to grow smaller. It is not the supposed wisdom of manhood, but the simplicity of childhood that will fit us for the reception of truth. Alas, we are often too much like men. If we were more like children, we would receive the kingdom of God far more readily. He continues in Mark 10:16 and says, and he took the children, I love this, in his arms and placed hands on them and blessed them. You know, one of the things that I love these guys, the youth group, I just love giving them hugs. We love on them like they're our kids. Jesus did the same thing, took them in their arms. Now, I realize we're living in a weird day where, you know, okay, we have to be even more careful. You know, we're talking about school. Okay, do we get fist bumps? You know, we used to hug everybody. Now it's like, oh, do we get fist bumps? Listen, but you know what? The bottom line is these kids need love. They need good, godly love. Does that make sense? And so it continues on in Mark 10:17. It goes on to say, and Jesus started on his way, and he met a man. A man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. He said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? This is a doozy. Listen, this is a really tough scripture. This is the only person that I remember, somebody can correct me later, you know, but this is the only person that I ever remember who fell on his knees before Jesus in the Bible that left in a worse condition than when he came. But the sad part is, it was his own choice. That's why I so don't want you just to come here and listen and not do what it says. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself, the Bible says. Listen, this guy had so much potential, this man who ran up on his knees. Listen, the Bible says he was young, like myself. No, he was young, like a Nathan or something, right? In Matthew 19:22, he was rich. Mark 10:22, he was a ruler or a leader, it says in Luke 18:18. It says he had good morals. Matthew 19, he showed that he was seeking, or he showed respect, as Mark 10:17 says, he ran and he fell on his knees. So he was seeking. All these things, he had so much potential. And it's just so sad. But he was lacking something. He was a good, he was rich, he had good morals, he had good teaching, he was raised a good Jewish boy. He was raised in church, probably a synagogue, right? But he was missing something. If you're coming to church every day and you feel like, hey, I'm missing, you know what you're missing? It's that relationship with Jesus. Listen, there's a hole. I don't know if you can see this, right? There's a God-shaped hole in all of our hearts. And there's only one person that can fill it. You see that person running in the background? I don't know if you've even noticed these things, but I do. But you know who's coming? It's Jesus. We try to fill that hole in our heart with everything. Isn't it true? Do we have a microphone somewhere? Anywhere? Okay. But we try to fill it with relationships, with drugs, with you name it, with religion even, and that never fills us on the inside. You could come here for years and never receive Jesus, and you could come here with an empty heart every time, and I don't want that. I want that heart full of Jesus because he's going to go with us. He's never going to leave us and never forsake us. I love that about Jesus. He's the only one that's going to fill our hearts. The Bible says this, that he has made everything beautiful in his time. Maybe your heart is just torn out. But it says in Ecclesiastes 3 that he set that eternity in the human heart, and that human heart can only be filled with the Lord. That's the only thing that will fill it. Anything else is just, any sin is temporary, and it's not going to do the trick. Yes, ma'am, you had a question.
I just wanted to mention that you had mentioned earlier about the kids and hugging them and just showing them love. I work for a middle school, and I work with these middle schoolers, and it just, I'm going to say all the kids that have these problems, behavior problems, or they have an attitude. You look at their background, and they're bringing it from home.
Yeah.
They're not, this is not
they
something.
They probably didn't get the love. Yes.
Right. And so we, as a group, we try to, no matter how, what their attitude is that
show
day.
Them love. Show them love. Kindness.
Let them
show
know.
Them
mm-hmm.
encouragement. Isn't that, can I just be honest, guys? Isn't that what we all need? Listen, I got it. He goes on, he says, good teacher. Listen, now this tells me that he doesn't really understand who Jesus is. Now, is Jesus good? Yes. Is he a teacher? Yes. But he doesn't understand who he is. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. And he says, what do I do to inherit? Basically saying, what kind of works can I do? How can I religiously work my little butt off to get to heaven? And the bottom line is you can't. You can only get there by grace through faith. And so that's what must I do is the question every religion, every cult, and every non-believer asks. How much money do I have to give to the church to get in? How many times do I need to arrive on Sunday to get in to work my way into heaven? And listen, the best of our works are like filthy rags to the Lord, right? It's just, that's what it is. We need Jesus. He is the only one, right, that can bridge that gap, right, that can, from our sinful selves to a heavenly God. And he will do that if you'll receive him. And listen, sitting on the fence is not going to do it. Everybody knows what a picket fence is, right? I wish this was a picket fence, but if you sit on a picket fence, it's going to be super uncomfortable. So some of us are sitting on the fence, half in the world and half on the Lord's side. And you know what? You're not really doing any good to anybody. There's been times where I've been on the fence or sitting more on the world's side. I'm not helping anybody at that point. Listen, you need to choose a side. Hear me now. Choose a side. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Choose him. As for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. Jesus said, if you know this, you know, scripture, it'd be like, wait a minute, but I remember this scripture in John 15:4 says, you're my friends if you do what I command. So it does talk about doing, yes, but we do it as a result of, oh God, I'm so thankful that I've been forgiven. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. Because I'm so thankful, what can I do for you, Lord? How can I serve you? How can I bless you? I'm not doing it to get saved. Do you see the difference? Does that make sense to everybody? And then finally, the dictionary defines do as to perform an action. What must I do is the crucial essence of this man's question. The dictionary defines receive as to take something offered, right, into your possession. His question should have been, how can I receive eternal life? And so kind of his perspective was a bit wrong. Is something short? Go ahead. I don't know where the microphone is.
A strong, working, biblical definition of the human heart. Because my understanding is the key scripture that we hold in our mind.
Okay, well, the description of the human heart. Okay, here's the description of the human heart. The human heart, the Bible says, it's deceitfully wicked. In other words, if you don't have Jesus, if you haven't received Jesus in your heart, your heart is inclined to go the way of the world, to go the way of the devil, to go away of your sinful self, of your flesh, you know, I want what I want when I want it. That's what your heart is inclined to do. It's to go to the left, right? It's to go to the world's ways, whatever that is. When you receive Jesus, right, he works something new from the inside out. He gives you new desires. He gives you a new heart, it says in the Bible, right? A spiritual heart, a one that desires and longs after God first. That's the gift of God. And so he works in you then to will and to work and to do his good purposes. Does that make sense? Okay. So it goes on. How long have I been teaching, Pastor?
48 minutes.
Nope, that can't be true. Okay, pedal to the metal time. Probably, okay. Mark 10:18. Oh, we give 10 more verses. We're going to go really quickly. I'm so sorry. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. Now, Jewish rabbis in Jesus' day would never have called, right, allowed anyone to call them good. That would have been reserved for God alone. So Jesus isn't denying here that he's God. Rather, he's affirming it. I want you to think of it this way. Jesus is trying to get this rich young ruler to really understand what he's saying. In Pastor D's language, he's saying, think, man, if I'm good, and if only God is good, then who am I? What am I doing? What am I saying? It's like, hey, you're saying I'm good. If you're saying only God is good, do you make the connection?
Yeah.
So Mark 10:19 goes on to say, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. These are all horizontal things, a relationship with others, if you'll notice. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimonies. You shall not defraud your mother and father. He's leading him somewhere. These are all, you know, surface level stuff. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I'm a boy. I'm a good, righteous guy. I've been doing all these things with others. Well, then Jesus, he looked at him and he loved him. I love this. Jesus loves you too. And he says, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now, Jesus knows this man intimately, even better than he seems to know himself. So notice that Jesus is only mentioning the commandments that dealing with relationships with one another. The ruler replied righteously that he'd kept all these commands, right, since his youth, right? But God's always wanting more than that. He's wanting our heart for him, not just actions, right? Paul even said, hey, if anyone thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, he said in Philippians 3:4-6, I have more. I've been circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. But then he goes on to say, now, he said in Philippians 3:8, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing knowledge, right, a worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. That word garbage is the word scubalon, and it literally means dog poop, animal poop. He's like, I consider all that knowledge, all that whatever, everything poop considered knowing Christ. So do I. That's how valuable, that's how precious. He is that pearl, right, of great worth that I sell everything to get. And Jesus loved this rich young ruler even with his faults, right? And he loves you too with your faults. In fact, he already demonstrated this. Romans 5:8 says something beautiful. God, depending on your translation, God demonstrated or God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. That's incredible. I'm so glad that you accepted the Lord, Jessica. Honestly, I am so grateful to count you as a friend and a sister. I am so thankful for that, right? But even before you accepted the Lord and you weren't walking right, do you know he still loved you? Doesn't that blow your mind? Like, I think of what I used to be and I'm like, bleh! Jesus is like, no, I can work with this one. And he can work with you too. You know, in my mind, this is how I see it. If God can save me, he can save anybody. And Jesus could have called him out, right, on his claim to have fulfilled all the law by doing all these commandments, right? But instead he got to the heart. It was idolatry. This guy really loved his money. In this rich young ruler's mind, he thought he could live without money. Excuse me, he couldn't live without the money. But in truth, he couldn't really live without it. This rich young ruler didn't have money. Money had him, and there's a big difference. Does that make sense? If God's blessed you with money, thank you. You say, thank you, Lord. You bless him. And then you know what? You use it for his kingdom. You say, thank you, Lord. But you have to ask, do you have money or does money have you? In this case, unfortunately, money had him. He continues on and says, at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And we see this rich young ruler's attitude and heart and his actions of his choice, right? They were a result of Jesus' words to him. Sad in Greek is stignazo, and it means he was shocked, he was appalled, he was grief-stricken. And it says he went away sad. That word, epikomai, interestingly enough, means to go away in order to follow someone as a leader. So what he's saying is when it says he went away sad, he went away because of the money. And that was more important to him than Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. I have to continue. I still have a bunch of verses to get through. And so the attitude of your heart when Jesus tells you something, you have to ask, who do you choose to follow? What's more important to you? Jesus' purpose wasn't to make this man sad, but Jesus knew he could only be fulfilled by doing what Jesus told him to do. These last verses, Mark 10, 24 to 25, these last few verses, the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God, because we tend to trust in our money. I'm probably going to go through this quickly, though, right? In those days, they thought if you were rich, it was a sign of God's favor. Could it be? Yes. Absolutely. But could it also be the enemy? 100%. What did the enemy offer Jesus? I'll give you everything in this world. He showed him everything. I'll give you all the worldly stuff if you'll just bow down to me. Right? And so the camel was the largest animal in Israel. And it's a violent contrast between the largest animal and the smallest opening. And people think a lot of different things about what it could mean, but that's basically, it's simple. And when it says a rich man, I tend to think of Bill Gates, Bezos, Musk, right? But guys, listen, the average worldwide capita income a couple years ago when I did this teaching, right? Average is $3,000 a year. So if you're making more than $3,000 a year in this world, you're considered a rich man. Wow. A rich woman. That's the average for the world. So what I'm saying is when I say, oh, this is just for your Musks, you know what I mean, your Bill Gates. No, this is for everybody, at least probably sitting here, unless you're making under $29,000 a year. So I'm going to skip some of these just for speedy sakes. Somebody once said that this was called the eye of the needle. And in other words, they're trying to say, hey, if you take everything off that camel and you squeeze it through that little door, maybe, you know, somehow. No, it just meant exactly that. Right. So that's why we don't trust in our money. Proverbs 11:28 says, trust in your money and down you go. But the godly will flourish like leaves of spring. Jesus said in Luke 12:15 to watch out, be on your guard against all type of greed, because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. He also said, no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. And then he finishes this out and says, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And then he finally closed with this. Peter spoke up and said, hey, I love Peter. We've left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for the gospel, for me and for the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, mothers, sisters, children, and fields, along with persecutions, don't forget that, right? And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. So what does that mean? Listen, when I started following Jesus, you know, I've lost a lot of friends, a lot of family. I even have family members that ate my guts. But you know what? I've got other brothers and sisters. I've got some of you right here, right? Neely's just sitting right here. She's a sister in the Lord to me. You know what? Like family, you know what? If she was homeless, you know what? We'd find a place for her. We'd let her stay. We love her. She's like family to us, right? I've got other brothers and sisters, people who encourage and support me. I do the same for them because we love them. We love their families. Does that make sense? God will gift you those things if you follow him, if you surrender all, right? And so I just want to take a minute, and I just want to pray for you, and I know I've probably gone way too long. So let me just pray for you. Thank you for being patient. I just want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, first I want to say thank you, Lord, for all the young people who are seeking you today, who are here. They made a choice to come and to hear your word. Bless them. Encourage them in some way. Thank you for everyone here, Lord God, who works with the young. Give them the strength that they need, Lord God. I thank you for everyone who's maybe struggling, Lord. Maybe they're on their knees before you in their hearts right now, and they're like, hey, Lord, what do I got to do? I pray that you would instruct them that all they need to do is to receive you fully into their life, Lord God. They don't have to work their way to you. They'll never do it, Lord. And for those who are struggling with surrender, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, what they have is a trust problem, Lord. I pray whatever that is that's holding them back, they would choose to trust you like a child, Lord, trusting a good dad. Maybe you've had a bad parent and that you couldn't trust them. You can trust your heavenly Father. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, whatever it is that we're not surrendering, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would put that on their hearts, Lord, and you would help them to surrender all, and you would help them to trust you through it. You would empower them to do it, and then you would provide for them afterward the blessing of obedience over due time, Lord God. Bless them with 100-fold, Lord God. I thank you for every person here, Lord God. Help them. Help us together to be like family and to choose to surrender all. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name, as all God's people said. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Go to the Bible studies during the week. Have a wonderful week, guys.